He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Our listeners who have not heard Jay on this program in some of the episodes we've had, he is back for this one. And we'll get some European update from him, I'm sure, perspective, although he has been back from Europe for a while, but he's been elsewhere in the country, and we'll get an elsewhere in the country perspective, too, I hope. I'd like to suggest a couple of things. Relevancy. We called one of our shows Up, Up, Up. This one will be Relevancy. I have three topics of relevancy that I hope Jay will chime in on because they're designed to get him to chime in on them. And one is diesel fuel. That's the first one. Jay is a big diesel fuel proponent. I have been less so. In this era of high fuel prices, diesel seems to have escalated far beyond what any of us would have ever thought in terms of per gallon cost for American drivers. I do not know what's going on in Europe. Jay may be able to give us that too. At well over $6 a gallon, diesel's been touted as giving much better fuel mileage in trucks and commercial vehicles than petrol-based or gasoline-based vehicles of similar size, and that still is the case probably from a standpoint of economy in terms of diesel power. But at $6 plus a gallon and going up, as does gasoline on a weekly basis almost. Jay, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not quite sure why diesel prices are going up proportionally more than gas prices, but that is a fact. I didn't follow prices very closely when I was in Europe, but you're right. I came back from Europe a little over a week ago and was kind of shocked to see the price of diesel fuel had gone up almost a full dollar.
$2.
Yeah, I mean, just in the two weeks I was gone.
Yeah.
So I saw prices as high as $6.79 here in the tri-state area. But then I was in Arizona last week for a few days, and the prices of gas are a little lower than they are here, but diesel was much closer in pricing to gasoline, and actually I drove an old 20-year-old Golf diesel turbo diesel, and it's a great car, as Robin knows, for having had one or a same engine. Yeah, 50 miles per gallon is pretty darn good fuel mileage, and the price of diesel there in Arizona was I think $5.29 or $5.39 in that range. So quite less high than it is in the
East Coast.
But you know, yes, I am still a diesel fan.
Okay,
right. Go ahead.
Good for that one. Next relevancy question I have for drivers are radar detectors. Many years ago, they were big items for people to consider, and I am one who consumed several radar detectors for different vehicles, so I had one ready at hand. However, I have not used a radar detector in years, and all my radar detectors are currently shelved, yet they are still advertised. At least Valentine One is one of them that still is seen advertised in car magazines, still trying to sell them as relevant features for drivers to have. My opinion is they are not really relevant today, except for maybe some extreme drivers who want to push the envelopes well beyond normal relevant speeds on most of our highways. It's pretty well known to those of us who pay attention to things like this that on the posted speed limits that we see around our listing area and probably out in the West too, a lot of the speed limits are actually quite, in my opinion, relative to the proper speeds that one should want to be happy to go on most of our interstates. Because you can generally go anywhere, depending on the state and what you know about the state's enforcement situation, 8 to maybe as much as 15 miles an hour over the posted speed limits, safely without fear of being arrested for excessive speed, which to me makes radar detectors relatively irrelevant in today's world of buying accessories for driving. We'll get Jay's perspective in a moment.
Oh, it's coming.
But I think that my way of looking at it is the way I drive. I drive generally up to 8 miles an hour over most posted speed limits, which has me going at a very satisfactory speed in the line of the rest of the traffic that's usually going on most of the roads where this can be done. And then you see the occasional speedster slaloming through the traffic as if there's no tomorrow if they don't get there before today. Radar detectors used to cost, and I think they cost a little more today, between $200 and $500 for the different models that were out there. And they're still up in that range where you can find them online or in advertised areas, which you can do anytime you want.
Let me chime in, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let's start from radar detectors. Here's my take on it. Yes, I, like yourself, had radar detectors in the past. Haven't used one in many, many years, mostly because you use a radar detector and then you get complacent and start over-relying on it. And it's just, you just get sloppy and not look at the road and not look at your surroundings. And I always say, if a police officer can see you, you can see him. I mean, it is very hard for them to really hide. And most of us drive, you know, 90% of the time we're driving roads that we know. And like you've mentioned, speed limits are pretty reasonable in most cases. I find them to be more reasonable in New York State. I actually like the way New York State deals with speeds. They're very strict in towns, and they should be. Likewise, you know, on more open two-lane roads, it's pretty much a 55 speed limit all over New York State, with the caution signs when you approach, you know, turns or areas that are a little more tricky where you should slow down. And if you watch your speed in New York State, you're pretty much right on the money. You're going to be driving what the posted limits indicate. Probably not so true in Massachusetts, where the actual speed limit can vary every other mile, which is, in my opinion, totally ridiculous, but it is what it is. So if you keep your eyes peeled, you can pretty much see, you can see the traps 90% of the time. So I think radar detectors are not all that useful. You know, there's also, the position, are they politically correct or not, or morally correct, or even legal? We know they're not legal in Virginia, and I think that is the only state where they are not legal. But it brings me to the bigger picture of speed and speed enforcement. You know, we've always, you know, thought that Europeans drive a lot faster, and they used to probably, but the European, you know, most European countries have adopted photo flash as a means of speed enforcement, and that is a more equitable way of dealing with speed infractions. And they've gone so far now as to scan license plates on certain distances, and which makes it impossible to actually go over the speed limit for any length of time. Because if your speed is being monitored on a distance of a couple miles, let's say, you just have to follow the average. Your average speed better be that of the speed limit or lower, or else you will get nailed. And, you know, it's a fair system. It works. I've seen traffic in Europe has slowed down a lot. I went to Germany a little over a week ago, and actually got a speeding ticket right in the center of Bonn, which is one of the major cities in Germany. It used to be the capital, actually. And it was a 30 kilometers per hour speed limit. We're talking 18 miles per hour speed limit. And I have to say, I got caught going only 8 kilometers above the speed limit. So I was going 23 miles an hour and got a 30-euro fine, which is not much, but it's just enough that it goes, hey, yeah, you know what, follow the speed limit. And 30 Ks, 18, 20 miles an hour in the center of a city makes a lot of sense, and it actually makes driving a lot easier and a lot safer. So
okay,
there we have it for speed limits.
There we have it for speed limits. what I've noticed that police enforcement is still using radar sensors and equipment on their cars, and I noted that the towns have been putting forward and backward units on their roof bars. And I noticed a couple of state troopers in Connecticut have also taken to doing that as well. I was in Canaan, our listening area, over the weekend of this particular show being broadcast, and there was an officer sitting at an intersection, and he had the same units that I see on town police on his car, and he was sitting stationary, very visible, at an intersection, which didn't mean that those units were being used for any enforcement. He was just watching traffic go through stoplights or whatever. But I agree with Jay. I think if you follow the sort of guidelines that I have just stated earlier about not going too far over the posted speed limits, you're not going to get arrested in any normal situations, even in these towns that Egremont is one of our favorite enforcement area towns in Connecticut. Pine Plains used to be a very well-enforced area in New York State. But generally, people go slower, and as Jay says, the traffic smooths out when everybody goes more or less the same speed limit, and there's not some jerk, shall I say, trying to make a major statement by getting by the traffic that's going at a relatively stable speed. So that's that. On that, I guess we agree, Jay.
Isn't that wonderful?
I did make a note.
I want to talk about something before Jay jumps in.
Well, you've done half the show so far.
Good.
We've got 11 minutes left.
Ordering new vehicles. My topic is surrounds around Jeep because a friend of mine who is about to upgrade his Jeep Cherokee to a new one said that he wanted a couple of specific things on the Jeep Cherokee, and he was going to buy new. And so I said, well, I will help you with that, and I went on Jeep to try to order the vehicle the way this gentleman wanted it. And it was absolutely impossible to do so without buying a level of the model that was not relevant to this gentleman's needs. Yet below this particular level, which was an upper cost level vehicle, he could not get a combination of features available on the ordering.
Did you try and get it on Carvana like you did?
I said he wants new.
Oh, okay.
And, I am going to take this another step further by calling Jeep to find out why they are no longer allowing particular combinations of Jeeps at certain levels. There are three levels of the 2022 Jeeps now, Cherokees. There's called Model X, which I don't know why they do that. There's a Latitude Plus, which used to be a Latitude, and there's a Limited, which is what I happen to have. The example was he wanted a trailer hitch, and he also wanted a trailer hitch with the Turbo 4 engine, not the V6, which the trailer hitch is available with now. You cannot right now, at a lower model level, at least as far as I can tell, get the combination he wants at the more affordability range of the vehicle. It's stupid. But this is what, and I don't know what the manufacturer's excuse is going to be when I take them to task, but a dealer says, well, it may be have to do with chips. Certain chips come equipped to give you certain capability options within the vehicle, and they may be in a short supply. I don't know whether that's true or not. But if these manufacturers want you to buy vehicles, they ought to at least offer the buyer the ability to get it the way they want it, as opposed to the way the manufacturers want to try to sell it to you. So you don't have to pay, let's say, $3,000 to $5,000 for a level of the vehicle where you can get the combination you want, but you don't want the sunroof, you don't want radar cruise control, you don't want ventilated seats, and whatever else they offer at this package that allows you to get the vehicle with the trailer hitch and a four-cylinder engine. Jay?
Well, can I barge in on this one? I think several things. I think that the sales model in the automobile industry is going to change and is changing. So that concept of packages, I think, is slowly going to fade away over the years when the model is going to change, where dealers will not be stocking hundreds of cars anymore. We've seen this since the crisis we've had in the past year and a half, with very few models on display or available to the public. The public has become more used to ordering vehicles and waiting for them. And when that settles in, there's no reason that manufacturers won't again start building to order instead of just producing, and then shelving all those units on fields across the country around the dealerships. I think that antiquated model is going to change. And then you have manufacturers, and I mentioned Tesla not because of anything else, but if you look at their models, you can order a car in 3 minutes because there's actually very few choices, and it just makes ordering easy. And I think we're going to go back to simpler things.
Well, that's true, Jay, but here's the problem for the listeners.
Let me finish. And then the other thing is, the simple thing is, buy the car without a hitch and get an aftermarket hitch. They're just as good. It takes a couple hundred dollars to get it installed and be done with it.
That is a suitable alternative, Jay.
But how about this one? How about the old-fashioned way, which is what you used to do, like it or not, back in the day? You used to call up your friend at the dealership and say, "This is what I want."
Well, that's what,
and then hang up the phone.
What? My particular example is, you can do the aftermarket trailer hitch, not a problem, but you can't get tow hooks on the base level Jeep installed at the factory, whether you want it or not. Now you might want to go off road at any level of Jeep. So why aren't tow hooks available all the way up and down the spectrum of Jeeps? Why aren't trailer hitches available all the way up at factory installed? This is not aftermarket. All the way up and down the spectrum of Jeep Cherokee offerings in this particular example. It doesn't make any sense to deny the ability to have a trailer hitch and or tow hooks put on whatever level of Jeep you want to buy and have it built that way.
Robin, we agree again. But you'll place the call and let us know how.
I will do that. There'll be an update on this particular topic when I get hold of somebody at the manufacturer who can talk sense or knows how to give me a real answer.
Okay.
Jay, how is the traffic out in the West?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I did not drive a lot. I was in Tucson, Arizona. I drove very few miles over the 3 or 4 days I was there. So I cannot, I don't have a take on that, quite honestly. It was just hot. That's all I can say. But I want to bring up a couple of things before the end of the show. Is one, it is a big weekend at Lime Rock this weekend, Memorial Weekend coming up. And for those of us who are into racing, there's a Trans Am race on Saturday and Monday, but there's also, as usual at Lime Rock on these big weekends, a big car show on Sunday with, I think, the entry. The tickets are a lot less expensive if you just want to come to the car show on Sunday. It should be interesting. And speaking of which, Lime Rock, along with FCP Euro, which is a distributor of car parts, have started doing, I think it's about monthly or so, car shows. And they've themed them by brand of cars, and so far they've had a Ferrari Sunday car show, a BMW one that was about a month ago, and then a couple weeks ago they had, or last, I can't even remember now, a Porsche car show. And I think the next one is a Mercedes-themed show next month.
Jay, are these all at Lime Rock?
They are all at Lime Rocks, all right. On Sundays. If you go to their website,
I believe you can something
see
was going on.
The dates. And they're just, I think they're free to the public. And, you know, you just see a lot of nice cars for people who just want to see cars. So a lot of car shows at Lime Rock throughout the year. That's all I wanted to mention about that.
All right. What is Memorial Day? Since
it's a Trans Am weekend.
It's the regular
Trans Am is
it's a Saturday and Monday.
Describe Trans Am cars, big American muscle cars, two frame cars with big V8s. It should be very good racing, very noisy.
Which is the sound that you want? You know, it's like
yes, absolutely.
If you were doing horse racing and the horse was just prancing around the track, it would not have the same thundering sound. So,
on the safety topic, I want to mention something that I don't know much about. But we had here in town a bat crash yesterday involving a car and a golf cart, and I don't know if it's been spoken about. I don't know the details, but what I do want to mention is that as we go into summer months, a lot of us use all sorts of recreational vehicles, whether it be golf carts on the golf courses, bicycles, boats. And I know I'm getting a little off the subject of cars here, but I think it's a good time to remind people that, peel your eyes for those other vehicles on the roads or coming off, getting on the road where they may or may not be supposed to, where you may not expect them. And if you are the driver of one of those vehicles, just remember, it doesn't take much to get involved in a bad situation. So,
I want to add e-bikes to that list.
Absolutely.
Well, bicyclists in general for that list.
Yeah, but e-bikes,
e-bikes is, is just a type of the bike you can be on.
Well, except that the reason I'm adding e-bikes to the golf cart list is because it's a slightly different disconnect than if you're sitting there pedaling. Now, we all know about cars and bikes and need to be conscious. I mean, I don't even know the right word. I'm going to say bicycles. But e-bikes, you've got people who don't necessarily have the
skills I'm going to jump in on this, Joe, to help you finish this thing faster than you're doing it. Bikes and golf carts are good things to bring up as areas where you need to watch out where they might be present. E-bikes or regular bikes. I don't know what happened on this accident that happened yesterday. I heard the police go screaming through, and I didn't know where it was when they came back. But Jay has identified the possible destination of this particular incident. And we have golf courses in several of our states, all three states that this broadcast is normally heard in. And a lot of them have crosswalks or cross places where these carts are going to be seen crossing. The cart drivers also have to remember that they don't have the right of way necessarily, and they've got to watch out. The problem I see with the golf cart situation is that they've got these crosswalks with lights. If you push the button, will give the driver coming approaching it, who may not see the golf carts coming to the intersection, notice that something may be happening at this crosswalk.
You got 5 seconds.
They have to get off the cart to do that, and they don't do it. So, as Jay says, be totally vigilant when you're driving, whether you're driving a car or a golf cart.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.